We entered into one of the 9 islands that we have not visited yet, Godruma Dweep. Godruma Dweep, the name because of a druma, or a tree, under which go, or cow, Surabhi in particular, resides eternally. And here in this island, the sequence that we had planned, and then circumstances changed, but Antar Dweep, Simmanta Dweep, Godrum Dweep, Atmanivedana, in the process prominent in Antar Dweep, Shravanam in Sweep, and Kirtanam. So if you like Kirtan, come to Godruma Dweep. Also, this Godruma Dweep corresponds with Nanda Maharaja's place in Vrindavan, where there are many, because Nanda Maharaja is the king of the cowherds, and he has many, many cows. And to assist his father and to perform his eternal lila, Krishna engaged in herding of cows. Lord Nityananda describes that Nimai and Nitai, they would come here, especially when he was a very small boy. Nimai would come with his friends, and they would perform pastimes with the local cowherd boys that was just like Vrindavan. In fact, he entered into the mood of Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan. And the cowherd boys would approach him and say, "You're in a brahmana's dress. You'd be in a gopa's dress. We'll give you a cowherd boy dress, and you can come and play with us all day long." And one of them said, "Come to my home, get on my shoulders, and I'll give you as much milk and yogurt and dairy products as you like. My mother will be very happy to feed you. Please come with me." Then another boy came and put flowers and fruits in his hand and said, "Please come and stay with me in my home." And all day long they would play with the cows and play the same as Krishna. And Balaram and the cowherd boys would perform their pastimes here in Godrum Dweep. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is writing this, says, "I long for that day when I can reside here in Godruma Dweep, fix my mind upon the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in these ways in his eternal pastimes." There are some pastimes connected with Surabhi Kunj. This is the place where the huge banyan tree, which Markandeya Rishi saw, that spanned 1 yojana, or 8 miles. That's a big tree. And see what Markandeya saw. We don't see lots of things. I wanted to go back to yesterday, at least the role of Lord Nityananda and the role of the internal poet, the role of Prodhamaya, because we were going to be visiting hereafter Antar Dweep, and Prodhamaya has her place in Antar Dweep. There's another Prodhamaya deity that we saw in Koladweep. But when Mahaprabhu revealed to Parvati her spiritual identity as his internal potency, no cause for lamentation. You are my internal potency. And here is Parvati not recognizing that she's the internal potency. What to speak of our not recognizing eternal reality. Again and again and again and again and again and again and over and over and over again, the scriptures teach us that this is the kingdom of Maya. And in the kingdom of Maya, one, in the name of progress, is trying to establish happiness in a place where there's no happiness. It's Maya. I was literally thinking this as we were heading for Ekachakra, as I shared with you yesterday, the role of Nityananda. He just wants to, on the one hand, take away our Maya, and on the other hand, give us Krishna. And he's transcendentally mad to take away our Maya and give us Krishna. And same as Proto-Maya, the agent's Maya acts according to the indication of the living entity's regard for the Supreme Lord. Yaitamam prapadyante tangstadaiva pajamyaham. The Lord and His potency. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Avatari, the source of everything and everyone, all the matter, and He's the controller and the source of, and the enjoyer of all. He's appealing. Please surrender unto me. And He provides the agency for that. And those that say no, I want to enjoy Maya. They don't say I want to enjoy Maya. I want to enjoy my independence. I want to enjoy happiness. Parentheses, without Krishna. There's no happiness without Krishna. So again and again and again, this minister or the representative of Lord Nityananda again and again instructs. It's totally futile to try to enjoy happiness through fruitive activities and sense gratification. Prabhupada, I was just listening this morning, Prabhupada do they say dog obstinacy? He was asking. Dog obstinacy. And one of the devotees said, they say stubborn as an ass. Like, you know, when a mule doesn't want to go anywhere, you can pull the mule, push the mule, hit the mule, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. Mule. Stubborn as a mule. Stubborn as an ass, or dog obstinacy. We're in this material world because we're stupid. We've misused our free will, saying, let me enjoy separate from Krishna, and endlessly we get beaten. What Narada Muni was saying to Suvarna Sen, some station of the senses, and we call that happiness. But even that is flickering and momentary. So what is eternal? Happiness, reality of any kind is eternal. And if it's not eternal, it's not real. The happiness, the distress. So as we were driving to Ekachakra, I was entering into that contemplation. All of these activities, the dogs on the side of the road and in the middle of the road, and the whole scene of people setting up in the maze, and on and on and on. It's just pursuing happiness. And it's just misery. And it's just, illusion. The happiness and the misery are just illusion. What's reality? Satyam, satyam, patyam, harirnam eva kevalam. Through the chanting of the holy name, we can contact reality. The curtain of Maya can be pulled back, and the reality can be experienced. Have any of you, like me, been having the experience that as we go along, day by day by day in the yatra, all the stuff that our life has been made up of kind of fades and goes back into the background, and the reality is opening. The reality of what our life is and is meant to be. How does that happen? By mercy. We, at the very beginning, our first day, I was sharing this simple statement. Vaikuntha manifests the fullness of the Lord's opulences, His Aishwarya feature. In Vrindavan, the Aishwarya feature is overwhelmed by the sweetness or Madhurya feature. And here in Navadvip in Sridham Mayapur, the Aishwarya is there, the Madhurya is there, but the Odharya, the munificence, the compassion of Lord Chaitanya isn't. And this is where we've been. In the past times of the Lord and His associates, again and again and again, are doing these two things. Withdrawing the illusion and disclosing eternal happiness, eternal reality. The eternal pastimes of the devotees. We're not used to reality. We're used to Maya. And so when we hear, the stories seem a little fantastic. And depending upon one's material contamination and conditioning and how strong the hold is to fruit of activities and sense gratification, it's interesting, but not the same happiness as those eternal associates. When Lord Nityananda brought Jiva Goswami to these places, sometimes he was with Srivas Pandit and others, they entered into those pastimes. And in some cases, Lord Chaitanya, his avirbhav, he manifested himself because of the spiritual intensity of the emotions of those devotees. He just came and joined the kirtan. Or as we heard at Gauridas Pandit, there was Gaur Nitai. And he saw their form of Krishna and Balaram. Anyway, the spiritual reality, I'm becoming a little fascinated with the fifth of the five main subject matters that are described in Bhagavad Gita. The fifth one that we hear the least about in Bhagavad Gita is time. Time is needed for material activity. Without time, you can't have material activity. But time, in reality, is eternal. And what's that? Like, let's see one of the bright young boys here. You know what this sign looks like? You've seen this sign before? Infinity sign? Yeah, you've seen? So, where does it begin and where does it end? It doesn't begin and it doesn't end. That's why it keeps going like this. So what's that? What is it that doesn't have a beginning and end? We only know things that have a beginning and end. What is it that doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end? What is eternal? We say the pastimes of the Lord are eternal. We just said very early, Surabhi hides here permanently beneath a giant banyan tree. We don't see a giant banyan tree. We don't see Surabhi. We don't see what Markandeya Rishi saw. But that, how do you access eternity? Even like have a concept of it? It's not by extending the mind and extending the mind, and it's another dimension. It's beyond the mind. And the intellect can't understand it either. What's our capacity? How do you hold that concept of something that it's beyond your experience? At best, you can say it's not this. The neti, neti. So those who are impersonalists, they like na iti. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. What is it? It's not this. Definition by negation gets you to impersonalism. And what's the hap in impersonalism? The happiness is the sensation of misery. But the real misery is being separate from one's relationship with the Supreme. So it's not cessation of misery, it's cessation of this illusion of Maya, but it's the last snare of Maya. Real happiness is still eluding. Eternal happiness. So the medium of devotional service comes through the agency of the internal potency. And one gets the access to the internal potency through the mercy of the dispenser of the mercy of the Lord. He empowers his devotee, the representative, to engage one in devotional service. The agent of Srimati Radharani, the agent of Lord Nityananda, those persons who perform the function of Varna Pradarshika gurus and Shiksha gurus and Diksha gurus, and we have so many teachers, and their teaching, the real teaching, is to deliver the soul from the clutches of birth and death. Isn't it? We have that statement. Prabhupada repeated over and over again. Don't become a mother. Don't become a father. Don't become a teacher. Don't become a guru. Don't become a head of state. Unless you can deliver your dependents from birth and death. So I see some mothers and fathers. And some teachers. I don't see any heads of state. But you take some responsibility for others, and that's the that is a responsibility to take one who is your dependent to the realm of the eternal. So what is that? Nityananda. It's eternal bliss. How can one do that? By empowerment, one can do that. If one gets the mercy of such empowerment, one can get the empowerment. Just stand close to a fire. You get warm. So in the Holy Dham, we've been hearing and chanting and hearing and chanting. In Odharya Dham, the place that's munificent. And we're getting access to the eternal pastimes of the Lord, the eternal associates of the Lord, their loving exchange with the Supreme Lord. It's really wonderful. We're so fortunate. Just reach out. Open your heart and let it come in. Some persons say, please give your blessings. My goodness, here we are. Blessings abundant. Just reach out and receive it. For that reason, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to reside in Surabhi Kunj, place where such blessings are abundant. a couple of pastimes connected with this place. This is the place where Indra came with Sarabhi. So we know the pastime, Indra's boo-boo, he made a mistake. He tried to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan and the cows in Vrindavan because this little impudent boy, Krishna, told Nanda Maharaj, this was impudent, was the mindset of Indra, told his father, don't worship Indra, let's worship Govardhan Hill. So all the means for the worship of Indra were used for the worship of Govardhan Hill. He was Krishna conscious. He would be, yay, they finally got it. Worship Krishna. Worship Govardhan Hill. Yay. But instead he was going, boo. They should worship me. I am. So the devastating waters of annihilation, some Sambartika cloud pouring torrents of rain that came down like pillars to destroy and kill the Brijbasis. Big offense. Krishna rescued the Brijbasis. He broke the pride, arrogant pride of Indra, who came before Krishna with Surabhi. And Surabhi offered her wonderful prayers to Indra, appealed for forgiveness from Krishna. But then he questioned Surabhi. I understand, this is from Navadip Dham Mahatmya, I understand that this is Dwarpa Yuga and I've made such a big aparad. Now Krishna has forgiven me. Tendency for pride could easily enter in my heart again when the Lord comes again in Kali Yuga in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what can I do to check that tendency from coming out again when he comes? Surabhi said, let's go to Godrumdweep, my eternal residence, and we'll worship Gora in Godrumdweep. And Indra came here with Surabhi. And they worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling out very loudly name. And Lord Chaitanya appeared before Indra, right here at Surabhi Kunj. And Lord Chaitanya said, I know your heart. You wish to not make such further offense. Please be clear. You will not make this offense. I will remove from your heart. And you will appear and participate with me in my pastimes when I appear in the coming age of Kali. So Indra was pacified about his concern of again acting with pride. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly can remove from our heart this very pernicious, nasty, destructive element called pride. What does pride arise from? It arises from having the fruits of some piety, some goodness, and with goodness some good activity comes the fruits of piety. But at the same time, if there is this desire to be the enjoyer of the fruits of our piety, if there's this of fruit of activity still within the heart, pride arises. You become proud of having whatever it is. Prabhupada said, as a little boy, he had this realization, even a pauper is proud of his penny. So we all have something, and whatever that something is, it may be, even from a material point of view, negligible. But the tendency to be the enjoyer of that negligible something results in pride. And when pride is there, you can't see straight. you see crooked. And you act crooked, and my real and real becomes Maya, and everything's upside down. It's delusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind. And his associate, Lord Nityananda, is so kind. And all of the associates of Chaitanya and Nityananda are so kind. They're empowered, desiring to help us become free from pride. This tendency to be the enjoyer of things of this world. Or take the flip side, get relief from the misery of things of this world that we don't like. It's just the enjoyer mentality, just the flip side of it. Heads or tails. And either side is Maya. Is there an alternative? There is an alternative, and Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their associates wish to give that. The agency is the internal potency. And we can at once, even stone-hearted mudhas, just by the chanting of the holy name, the heart can become softer and cleansed. Chaito, Darpana, Marjanam, and so on. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another pastime connected with this place, Surabhi Kunj, is in relation to Markandeya Rishi. Again, this is a very nice pastime. Listen to it carefully in terms of seeing Maya and seeing reality. Seeing what's temporary and seeing what's eternal. Oh, Markandeya Rishi was a disciple and the son of Mrikunda Rishi. And after his initiation, there's different descriptions. Oh, the one that's described in Navadvipa Dhammahatmya says that after his initiation, he underwent great austerity and tapasya and meditation. And Lord Shiva came and offered him the benediction, like he'd like to have a long life of meditation upon the personality of Godhead. So he gave him the benediction that he could live for 7 kalpas. He thought, wow, meditating on the personality of Godhead for 7 kalpas. Yes. And a kalpa is a day of Brahma. So a day of Brahma is really long. But he didn't calculate that there's also the night of Brahma. That's equally long. And during the night of Brahma, there's total devastation. Now the version in the Bhagavatam is a little different. And it goes like this. But we're going to end up in the ocean of devastation. Whether it's through this Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that after his initiation, he began the process with which he was initiated, and for a period of 6 manus. Now, how many manus are there in a day of Brahma? 14, right. 14 manus in every day of Brahma. So 6 manus at the end of each of the manus, there's a partial devastation. And that was all right, but at the end of, after the 6th manu, Indra started getting a little nervous. He's maybe becoming too powerful. Maybe he has an ambition to take over my kingdom. With pride comes insecurity. So he sent Cupid, and he sent dancing girls from the heavenly realm, and he sent lust personified. He sent everything he could, intoxication personified. He sent his whole arsenal. Markandeya Rishi was unfazed, and those who he had sent, they realized, oh, we've made a big offense on behalf of Indra, who's made a big offense. Markandeya Rishi didn't do anything. He didn't curse them or burn them to ashes or anything like that. He just smiled. Being so much moved by the stage of spiritual attainment that he had achieved, Narayana came and showed their form before Markandeya Rishi and immediately made obeisances and offered prayers, beautiful prayers, expressing his realization of their position and reality distinguished from illusion. They said, "We wish to give you a benediction. What benediction would you like?" And he said, "I'd like to see and understand your form of Maya, your illusory potency." He was in touch with reality, but from the position of being in touch with reality, he wanted to be squeaky clean, really clear. What's your illusory potency? The Lord Narayan smiled and acknowledged. And he and Nara left. And Markandeya Rishi continued with his austerities and penance and meditation. Then one day, suddenly, the cosmic annihilation prematurely took place because it hadn't been the end of Brahma's day, it was still one of the days after six manus. But it was the illusory potency because creation and devastation and everything that's in between. The people that are lining up the streets, selling their wares at the marketplace and everything. It's all the illusory energy. It's not reality. So he saw the whole devastation taking place. And during the time of devastation, there's a giant flood. And during that giant flood, everything is covered in water. Actually, the way it's described is at the beginning part, there's a long drought. 100 years of no rain and everything becomes parched and dry. And then from the mouth of Ananta comes a flame. And everything bursts into flame. So everything just ashes. And then comes an inundation. Puts out the fire and everything dissolves. There's no more New York City or Hyderabad or Chicago or, you know, wherever else anybody is from, Beijing, and it's all gone. It's gone. It's actually illusory energy when it appears to be there, but it's gone. So here he is, Markandeya Rishi, floating because he's given this that he would live for seven kalpas. So it's the ocean of devastation, and he's living. Even everything else is gone. And the waves of the ocean of devastation are huge. And he would be tossed by the waves and then crashed by the waves and tossed by the waves and crashed by the waves. And you can swim for a while, but how long can you swim? The night of Brahma is very long. So here he is with his beard floating on the water of devastation, wondering, why did I accept this benediction? And his body is becoming weaker. There was nothing to eat, because there's nothing. And weaker and weaker, and but it's benediction. He's going to live for the whole duration of the devastation, and then 6 more after this one. So suddenly he saw in a distance a banyan tree. And he tried swimming towards the banyan tree, and he moved closer to the banyan tree. He saw on a leaf of the banyan tree a little child, bluish in color. And the child turned and opened his eyes and looked at him and smiled. And then the child, with both hands, reached his left foot and put his left toe inside his little mouth and was sucking on his toe, lying on his back, and smiled. And then he took his toe out of his mouth and looked at Mark and David and inhaled. And as he inhaled, the whole ocean of devastation and Markandeya Rishi entered into the body of the little child. Now think about it. The ocean of devastation and the little child. Does it work? Does the math work? Everything fits inside a little child. Because that was Krishna, and everything is within him. And entering into the body of this little child, he saw the whole cosmic manifestation, just like Mother Jasoda saw within the mouth of Krishna, the whole cosmic manifestation, the same vision. The form of the universe within the body of the little child. And the details are described in the Bhagavatam. And then the child exhaled. And the whole ocean of devastation and everything was gone again. He would come out of the mouth of Krishna and floating around in the ocean of devastation again. Then he came to the island, and when he reached the island, he saw Mother Surabhi. And he pleaded with Mother Surabhi, "I'm famished, I'm tired and hungry, and can you please give me some milk just for nourishment?" And so Surabhi supplied him with her milk. And then he asked Surabhi, "Where are we? What is this?" He said, "This is Godrumdweep. This is the place where I eternally reside." And the description is there that the island extended for hundreds and millions of croshas. I don't know what a crochet is. Hundreds. It's huge. Lord Nityananda was describing this pastime and said, "To us, it looks like 16 croshas. But actually, it's millions and millions of croshas. What's the limit of the spiritual world? How can you measure?" In the prayers, and also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that's the 3/4 portion, and this is the 1/4 portion. Just to give us an idea that, like, that's so much bigger than this. And who can measure this? So who can measure that? So we can experience going from Sridhar Mayapur, ISKCON, over to Godrumdweep, and it took us, you know, depending on the car or bus, it took us so long. And here we are, and it's, you know, going to walk a little bit to go to Swananda Sukhada Kunj. And it's, you know, so many steps and so many minutes. The eternal Dham is something else than what we see, which is exactly what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Parvati. You have these two features. You have the feature of Maya, and the feature of Maya covers reality. Let me read. "You are the Maya potency of Lord Sri Hari, who is expert in making the impossible things possible. In the form of the external Maya potency of the Lord, you hide the sun-like Lord of Antardweep from the vision of materialistic people. Therefore, Yogpith is known as Mayapur, or the city of Maya. On this earth planet, Mayapur is covered by Maya, so that non-devotees or materialistic people cannot see the brilliant Lord. But she has another feature. Prodamaya has another to bring us into the spiritual world. So that's what we're doing. We're like trying anyway. And the extent to which we experience that is the extent to which we desire it. But we're desiring the other kind of Maya, fruit of activities and sense enjoyment, and we're so conditioned to it. We don't have to think about it. It's just second nature. But here we are, being called. And we said yes, we came to the Lord's eternal abode, and He's giving us that opportunity. Primarily through this chanting of the holy name and hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And by His mercy, He can open the spiritual reality and give us that opportunity to experience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur chose this place. We'll hear detail about his life. But when he retired from government service, he came here. Now, as we were going down the roadway, maybe you noticed they're putting in a railroad track. Previously, the British government put in it's called the narrow gauge railroad track, just for the purpose of allowing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he could do some more years of service for the government, to go from where he lived here, or Svananda Sukhata Kunj, just down the road, near Krishnanagar. So Krishnanagar, so many times we've gone through that little narrow passageway, one car at a time passageway, you know, like that one, and there's a train overhead. And when we go from Mayapur through that tunnel on the other side, that's Krishnanagar. The whole area is Krishnanagar. It was named after a king who had the name Krishna, so it became Krishnanagar. And he was so much valued by the British government, they built a train for him to go to work. Plus, there were people also that could ride the train to get to Krishnanagar. And he chose this place to live. He lived here for some time. According to his biography, he had a vision of what we can see when we look across the river, the Adbhuta Mandir, this brilliant, tall, rising into the sky temple, where it was just rice fields. But he had a vision. According to another version, a second time he was with his son and some other persons, and the rooftop of this building, probably not the very same building, the rooftop of what building was there before, he had the same vision, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are some of the glories of Surabhi Kunj. It's time in our schedule that we're going to go from here over to Svananda Sukhata Kunj, have breakfast, have some katha. The sannyasi who has taken on the service of maintaining this project and developing the temple that his Guru Maharaj requested of him would like us to help him with some donation. I think we'll do this when we come back. There's a very beautiful song. Many of you, or some of you at least, are familiar with this beautiful song where Lord Nitya is given the service of establishing Namahatta, the marketplace for the holy name, and he's going to sing this for us. I told him 9 o'clock. we could do that now, or go take breakfast and after breakfast come back. Rukmininath, what do you think? Sing now or sing later? He wants to sing this one song. Or go take breakfast and come back after breakfast sometime. Huh? Okay. He also showed me in this little book the original handwriting of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it is. And it's a verse from some prayers glorifying Godrumdvi. So he'll the prayer, because he doesn't need the paper, he knows the verse. But here's his Bengali handwriting. And he doesn't need the book either. He can sing the song. Do you want to? You want Radanga, or you want to just sing, or what would you like? He wants me to read the translation. Yes?
Read the translation.
I'll read the translation, and he'll sing the song. And we can all drink the nectar of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The translation of the song is the song of the broker. Remember I told you this, the language of a franchise? Where's Gopi Priya? Remember franchise, and you said, I don't know that word, and I explained a business, and they have little branches, a franchise. So Nityananda was the broker of the goods. The product is the holy name. So he gave franchises to people that they sell the product, the holy name. But the rule was you had to pay a fair price. And the price was faith. So that's what the song says. I am singing news of the greatest happiness at the place known as Surabhi Kunj in Sri Navadvip. The place of the holy name has now been opened. And Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale. Wholesale? Merely for the price of one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each one of them to test their qualification. He sells them the name by bargaining accordingly. More faith. More faith. More faith. All right. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me. I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus, you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission. And in this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful, accepting only one's faith in the holy name. He bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon name Gora, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He then gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please, reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. we no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda, the holy name to anyone and everyone, even the lowest among men, Bhaktivinoda, loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter.